let's sing together hymn 43, God is still on the throne. 43.
Have you started for glory and heaven? Have you left this old world far behind? In your heart is the Comforter dwelling. Can you say, praise the Lord, He is mine? Have the ones that once walked on the highway come back and you seem all alone? Give your eyes on the prize for the on the throne. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, never forsake of His own. His promise is true, He will not forget you. God is still on the throne.
Hymn is number 43.
But and so is your heart growing weary with the toil and the heat of the day? Does it seem that your power is more for me as you journey along on life's way? Go away and in secret before me tell your grief to the Savior alone. He will lighten your care, for He still answers prayer. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, He never forsake of His own. His promise is true, He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. You may live in a tent or a cottage, unnoticed by those who pass by, but a mansion for you is beauty, in a beautiful city on high. It will outshine the wealth and the splendor, riches on earth we have known. Is the architect true and His building for you? God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He leave us alone. God is still on the throne, He never forsake of His own. His promise is true, He will not forget you. On the throne, His coming again is a promise to His disciples when He went away. like manner as he has gone from you. You'll find him returning someday. Thus his tarrying cause you to wonder. Thy sin is forgotten, his own. His promise is true, he will come for you. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he leave us alone. God is still on the throne. He never forsake of his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne.
Amen. Our next hymn is number 353. 353. God will take care of you. Hymn is 353.
Be not dismayed, what betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day, through all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart of fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or other way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or other way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or other way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Our final hymn is right across the page. God leads us along. Yes, very nice. Thank God.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, paves the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, and God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkness of night, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads His dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives the song in the night season and all the day long.
I guess we have time for another one. Shall we sing 344? 344. This is a hymn based off the Psalm 23, Psalm of the Lord being our shepherd. Three, four, four. I'm going to play one through.
What's my shepherd I'll not want? He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leads me the quiet waters by my soul it restore again and me to walk within the paths of righteousness in for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes, my head the dust with oil and light, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 18, and this 1 to 7 is the text for our meditation. Isaiah chapter 18 and verses 1 to 7 is the text for our meditation. Let us read responsively. Isaiah chapter 18 and verse 1. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, Go, ye swift messengers, to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifted up an ensign on the mountains, when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. For so the Lord saith unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For afore the harvest, when the bud is perfect, and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains, to the beasts of the earth, and the fowl shall summer with them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. In that day shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts, of a people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place name of the Lord of hosts. Amen. Thank God for the reading of His precious word. Some trust in chariots is the title of our exhortation, taken from Isaiah chapter 18 and verse 1 to 7. We have two thoughts: trusting the Lord, submitting to the Lord. The people of Ethiopia, which is ancient Kush, sent ambassadors to Israel, hoping to form a strong alliance against Assyria. Kush is down south in Africa, and the Assyrians are coming from up north, down south. Israel is in the middle. And so if a deal is struck somewhere further away from their own land, then there is a possibility that they will be protected. At least there is a buffer, a cushion in between. Well, it was not of the Lord. And so, as Wesby well puts it, the venture was doomed to fail. God was not in it, because all of man's clever ideas are worthless if they run contrary to the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20, it says here, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." The Assyrian invasion, however, was part of God's plan, and He would not intervene until He accomplished His divine purposes. He would hover over the scene like summer heat or the morning dew, verse 3 to 4. When the time was right, He would reap the harvest and leave the corpses to scavengers, verse 6, a description of the devastation. It's not a very pretty scene, but that was the way civilization is moving today. As you think about the world today, isn't it so true that the evil men are seeking to cause great chaos to the people in the world? The more chaotic it will be, the happier it seems they are. And so they would plan and strategize and do their clandestine evil work so that the world would be disrupted and peace would be robbed. You see, if the world would be filled with God's people who are filled with the Spirit of God, understanding the will of God, then you would see that the world would be a very different place. But as it is today, you see that the world is a boiling cauldron, waiting to explode. But here, the Lord wants us to see, indeed, that He is still on the throne, and that He is very much aware of what's going on. Men can do what they want in the richness of their imagination, but God's purposes cannot be thwarted. However clever they thought they might be. And so in Revelation 19 is described for us the scene during the tribulation. verses 17 to 21, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, as of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and born, both small and great. And I saw the beasts, and the kings of the world, and their armies march together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his enemy. Here is the scene of the Antichrist and his armies gathered together to make war against the Lord and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. It doesn't help us to fall into a lie, just as Adam and Eve fell to the lie of the serpent at the Garden of Eden. It was to their detriment, isn't it? And therefore, for the people of God, our eyes must be wide open to see the danger before us as we walk, tread the dangerous pathways of this world. And here is proceeded the description of God's judgment upon the Antichrist and his kingdom and the false prophet. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, whose sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Well, the Lord meting out judgment when he returned with his saints. And Wesley once again observed well, he says, those clean-shaven ambassadors should have gone to Jerusalem with the gift for the Lord. They should have been humble worshippers, not haughty negotiators, and trusted in the God of Israel and not their armies or their treaties. How often we rely upon our own intellectual capacity and not upon the word of God. The psalmist says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. Chapter 18 is a continuation of chapter 17, verses 12 to 4, which we saw. And it is an example of what Isaiah wanted to show us, how nations are subject to God. In other words, nations are so great and mighty, it seemed, in our eyes, when we read of them in the papers, what mighty strength they have. And yet the Lord wants us to see who they are in the sight of the Almighty One. The introduction of this text brings with it a cry of anguish, simply designed to point out the great distance of the people whom they were about to speak to. Verse 1 says, woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Here, the language is very arresting, as E.J. Young well puts it, and prepares the hearer for a description of the nation to be addressed. This nation is said to be a land of rustling of wings or buzzing insects of wings. Here, what is this insect? Perhaps the prophet had in mind the thistle's fly, which is found in Ethiopia. It was sufficiently obnoxious that Moses would mention it as a punishment that was brought against the Israelites. You remember the plagues? One of the plagues was the sending of this obnoxious insects. And it was also said of God's punishment of Israel when God would send the locusts to destroy the land. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. So you see that the judgment of God can come in many forms. The ways of God is beyond our comprehension, and yet when He reveals Himself to us, we know. And through the study of His Word, we can have an idea of the things that are happening around us. The prophet's purpose was to mention Ethiopia to show that its swarming hordes were like insects. For that reason, he mentions the wings. When the insects have wings, they can fly and accomplish devastating purposes. So when men began to learn to fly, right, one of those very terrible machines that they make was the fighter jet, isn't it? So when they came, they wreaked great havoc wherever they would be positioned. Right? We hear of Torah. How it awakened an entire nation to the devastation of modern machinery harnessed for evil. Ethiopia's armies are equipped for foraging and conquering. They have all the capabilities of insects provided with wings, so they are a powerful nation. This land, which Isaiah mentions, is said to be beyond the rivers of Cush and hence at a great distance. In Cush is the Nile with its tributaries. And yet even beyond this, further to the south, is the land which Isaiah mentions. Whatever it is that is meant here by the land shadowing with wings, verse 1 of our text, here is a woe pronounced against it, against the land of Ethiopia. For God has, upon His people's account, a quarrel with it. They threaten God's people. All the neighbors are hereupon called to take notice. What will be the issue? This morning we were studying the Israel's doctrine of war. And the Lord instructed the people of God that whenever He sends them on a war path, it is in His will. First, He is to seek peace, and He is to seek a reason for the engagement. There is a reason for the engagement. Something has happened. So the Lord says that purpose must be set clear before the engagement. Though God seemed unconcerned in the distress of His people for a time, He at length appeared against their enemies and will remarkably cut them off. This shall redound much to the glory of God. That's about a good summary that we can see of our text from Matthew Henry. Verse 2, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a people mitted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. Here is the attempt made by this land, whatever it is, upon a nation scattered and peeled. Swift messengers are sent by water to proclaim a war against them. as a nation marked by providence and meted out to be trodden underfoot. Whether this refers to the Ethiopians waging war with the Assyrians or the Assyrians with Judah, it teaches us that a people which have been terrible from the beginning have made a figure and borne a mighty sway that may yet become scattered and peeled and may be spoiled by their own rivers that should enrich both the husbandman and the merchant. If you go to Korea, you would and trace in their history, you would see that there were many incursions upon their land by the Japanese, by the Chinese, and they were very much a nation that were subdued by ambitious neighbors that came upon them. Nations which have been formidable and have kept all in awe about them, maybe by a concurrence of incidents, become despicable and easy prey to their insulting neighbors. Princes and states that are ambitious of enlarging their territories will always have some pretense or quarrel or other to quarrel with those countries they have a mind to. So, in the interview between Tucker Carlson and Putin of Russia, he spent half an hour to talk about the history, to help to put in perspective that they are not the aggressors. It was a peace treaty that was made, but it was not taken up. Whatever the story will be, this is what we hear. This is the movement of nations, isn't it? It is a nation that has been terrible, and therefore we must be revenged upon it. It is now a nation scattered and peeled, meted out and trodden. Therefore, it will be an easy prey for them. Perhaps it was not brought so low as they represented it. God's people are trampled on as a nation scattered and peeled. But whoever think to swallow them up may find them still as terrible as they have been from their beginning. They are cast down, but not deserted and destroyed. You know, sometimes we think we are so troubled with so many distresses that comes upon us as a people of God that we think that we are not going to survive yet another crisis that is coming upon us. But I say to you that the Lord will not allow you to be tested above that you are able. In every trial, the Lord measures what you can take, and He knows that if He allows you to be tested, He will also give you the grace to handle it, so that you would give Him glory at the end. This is our God, you see. So if you are filled with distress, if there are some things that burdens you and you think that this is it and you have been bitten down so badly, well, here the Lord is saying to us that He is still on the throne. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when He lifted up an ensign on the mountains, and when He bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. The alarm sounded to the nations about, by which they are summoned to take notice of what God is about to do. Right, this morning we mentioned that when Israel would go forth to war, there would be a war priest, and he will take the silver trumpet and he will blow the trumpet, and the people would be prepared for war. And it also was given a description who would be sent to the front to fight. Well, there are four categories of people that were not included. The first category was described as those who have been those who have built a new house, they are to stay in the house, to dedicate it. So for 1 year, that man should not go. Why? Well, because the house is a home. And when you establish a home, you are establishing a citadel, a haven of rest for a family that is going to be established in it. So once the house is built, it has to be properly established first. So, such a man would not be drafted until 1 year later. And also, the man who had a vineyard, 3 years to cultivate a vineyard, fourth year to see the fruit. And so, the vineyard is important in Israel. The land is an inheritance from the Lord. And without fruitfulness, a man who goes out to war and he comes back to a dilapidated home, it would be terrible, isn't it? So the Lord says, no, don't send such men. In other words, the people who are sent must be men who are ready, with a heart fully engaged to the battle. And thirdly, also, the man who has betrothed his wife and had not taken her, to not do so, lest he die in battle. Another man take her. So such a man is also told to leave behind. And in another part of scripture, we are also told that the man who is married would spend the first year cheering his wife, building and establish the marriage. It's so important, isn't it, when the marriage relationship is not strong, not established, right? Where goes the family, there goes also the nation. And also those who are fearful and faint-hearted, they are to return to the house, lest his brethren faint as well as his heart. So the Lord marked and made a difference in Israel's doctrine of war to help us to see, well, that if it is the will of God for them to go forth, these are all courageous men, ready to defeat their enemies. Princes and states may be ambitious. Well, God's people may be trampled upon, but they are never destroyed nor deserted. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, ye see ye, when he lifted up an ensign on the mountains, when he blows a trumpet, hear ye the sound, the alarm sounded to the nations about, by which they are summoned to take notice of what God is about to do. The Ethiopians and the Assyrians have their counsels and designs, which they have laid deep and promised themselves much from and in prosecution of them. Send their ambassadors and their messengers from place to place, and let us now inquire what the great God says of this. Well, that was exactly what happened, if you read the kings. That was the account. They were so proud. He lifts up an ensign upon the mountains and blows a trumpet, by which he proclaims war against the enemies of his church and calls all her friends and well-wishers into her service. He gives notice that he is about to do some great work as the Lord of hosts. All the world is bidden to take notice of it. All dwellers of earth must see the ensign and hear the trumpet, must observe the motions of divine providence and attend the directions of divine will. Take care, be careful to go against the people of God. Let all enlist under God's banner and be on his side and hearken to the trumpet of his word, which gives not an uncertain sound. Submitting to the Lord, verse 4. For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. The assurance of God, the assurance God gives to his prophet, by him to be given to his people, that though he might seem for a time to sit by as an unconcerned spectator, yet he would certainly and seasonably appear for the comfort of his people and the confusion of his enemies. And so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest. Men will have their saying, but God also will have his. And as we may be sure his word shall stand, so he often whispers it in the ears of his servants, the prophets. Isn't it so true? The Lord gave the word to his servant, and his servant gave the word to Naaman the leper, the leprous general seeking a cure, to go to the Jordan River and wash himself. The whispering cure that came when he says, I will take my rest. It is not as if he were weary of governing the world. It's not that he needed to retire, to repose himself. But here, what is being said is that the great God has a perfect, undisturbed enjoyment of himself in the midst of all the agitations and changes of this world. The Lord sits upon the floods unshaken. His eternal mind is always calm and easy. And though he may sometimes seem to his people as if he took wanted notice of what is done in this lower world, they are tempted to think that he is as one asleep or one astonished, yet even then, he knows very well what men are doing and what he himself will do. So if we understand this, and that if we are a people that belongs to God, then we indeed will take comfort in that in whatever trial that we are in, though our feelings doesn't tell us that God is there, though our environment points to the contrary, and yet you know that the Lord is there on the throne, and he is there to fend for his people. So the psalmist did say, awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Sometimes in the time of our trial, when we are being tested, well, it is to test us so that we would learn patience, we would learn long-suffering to wait upon God, to know that he is God and that we are not. It is only when we are tested thus that we realize that we need help. It's only when we are pushed that we realize that we are undone. Jeremiah 14, verse 9. Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, and as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. He will take care of his people, to be a shelter to them. He will regard his dwelling place. His eye and his heart are and shall be upon it for good continually. So we have an assurance, isn't it? So that is why we are encouraged to come for prayer meeting at midweek. Because at midweek, you'll be assailed when the week starts, right, from Monday to Tuesday, and by Wednesday, it builds up. And if you're not encouraged, energized, strengthened, and you do not have an avenue to bring your burdens to the Lord and to hear from Him, you realize that the pressure builds up and it becomes too great. Like a clear heat after a rain, which is very reviving and pleasant and makes the herbs to flourish, like a dew and a cloud in the heat of harvest, which are very welcome, the dew to the ground and the cloud to the laborers. There is that in God which is a shelter and refreshment to His people in all weathers and arms them against the inconveniences of every change. So in every situation in life, you see a movement and things are different. Well, do not panic, because the Lord is there for you. E.J. Young says, is the weather cool? There is that in His favor which will warm them. Is it hot? There is that in His favor which will cool them. Great men have their winter houses and their summer houses, but those that are at home with God have both in Him. Whether you are in winter or whether you are in summer, in the heat you are facing, or in the cold you are shivering, the Lord would provide you a warm blanket, or He would provide you a cool shower. Verse 5, for afore the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains and to the beasts of the earth. And the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. He will reckon with his and their enemies. When the Assyrian army promises itself a plentiful harvest in the taking of Jerusalem and the plundering of that rich city, when the bud of that project is perfect, before the harvest is gathered in, while the sour grape of their enmity to Hezekiah and his people is ripening in the flower and the design is just ready to be put in execution, God will destroy that army as easily as a husbandman cuts off the sprigs of the vine with a pruning hook. So today you see many of those big trucks, and then you have the man in it, and the truck would elevate, right? And there a man with a saw, and the tree that was fully blossoming after the trimming, you said, buta, gone. Yeah. Well, the Lord is there for His people. And they shall be left to the fowls of the mountains and the beasts of the earth to prey upon, both winter and summer. For as God's people are protected all seasons of the year, both in cold and in heat, so their enemies are at all seasons exposed. Birds and beasts of prey shall both summer and winter upon them till they are quite ruined. The tribute of praise should be brought to God from all this. Verse 7 tells us to look a little bit further. Some understand this of the conversion of the Ethiopians to the faith of Christ in the latter days, of which we have the example of Philip baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch when he shared the gospel with him. Acts 8:27, and he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace or Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So he was holding the Isaiah scroll, very precious. In those days, all the Bible are handwritten. So he must be a man of means, right? And also one who has a desire to seek the Lord. And while he was reading the Isaiah scroll in Isaiah 53, there the Lord bid Philip to come near and to share the gospel, to explain to him who the suffering servant is. It is but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right, who died for our sins. The Lord wants us to see that though we may be a very helpless people, peeled, scattered, meted out and trodden down, but we have a God who is great, who is able to fend for us, and we ought to take heart that indeed we can trust him to take care of us. Romans 15 verse 16. That I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, Paul says, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Here it is prophesied that Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Psalm 68 verse 31. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Well, there are others who understand it of the spoil of the Assyrian army, Sennacherib's army, out of which, as usual, presents were brought to the Lord of hosts. Numbers 31 verse 50. It was the present of a people scattered and peeled. It was won from the Assyrians, who were now themselves reduced to such a condition as they scornfully described Judah to be in verse 1. Those that unjustly trample upon others shall themselves be justly trampled upon. It was offered by the people of God, who were in disdain, called a people scattered and peeled. God will put honor upon his people, though men put contempt upon them. As you go out and share the gospel, you may be rejected, you may be scorned, but the Lord is with you. As you led by the Spirit of God, go out to be a messenger for him. Yes, there are certain times that the people that you may try to reach out to turn aggressive. Quite aggressive. I remember visiting a man in his house, and he was stricken with cancer, and so I was to go into the house to visit the father at the request of one of the sons. But there was another son that was there in the house, and he came up to me. He was a very big man and was very aggressive. "Why are you here? Show me your IC." I said, "Why do you want to have my IC? "Well, to take my identity card, to report me for going and to visit his father who is dying in trouble." Yeah. So you remember there was one time when we prayed, right? He had a 15-hour operation. Right? The entire stomach was resold back. 15 hours, and we were aware, and so we prayed, right, throughout that period of time. And how it is so interesting that I had the opportunity to go in and speak to the father, and to talk to him. And, you know, finally, before he passed on, right, he turned to the Lord. He was a very staunch, self-confident man. What we said, a Nanta graduate in those days. He has great confidence. Yes. And when he understood that the E refers to Christ, the righteousness that we have comes from Christ, when he has an idea to the gospel. You see, God preserved him. It was a very complicated operation. And he survived the operation for more than a year or 2 years. And during that time, he was given more opportunity, and the wife was a believer. So after the father passed on, wife came and visited us. Why? Well, she knew that the Lord had intervened to save the dear husband. And although when we went, it was like a quite thundering. You see a big man hovering over you and threatening you. So you can become afraid, as we did. But the Lord kept us, in spite of all the threatenings, and it was for the salvation of a soul. So, was it worth it? Well, on hindsight, the entire family who knows God said, worth it. Because, wow, it would have been too late if the Lord had not intervened. So, the Lord helped him to see during that moment of distress. And he saw, and finally, the Lord did affirm his faith through water baptism. And it's such a wonderful testimony, isn't it? Son says, I've been praying for my father for many years. And the Lord intervened to save him. I'm so grateful for his mercy upon him. May the Lord strengthen his people as we think concerning the threatenings to the people of God. Let us not be dismayed. Let us not be downcast, but rather take heart to know that the Lord is still on the throne and that he will surely take care of his own. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace. Strengthen us this evening as we go into a time of prayer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.